Are you ready to revolutionize your livestock management with virtual fencing? eShepherd is the virtual fencing solution by Gallagher that makes managing your cow herd easier, more efficient, and stress-free. Imagine adjusting grazing boundaries in minutes, all from your phone. With eShepherd's intuitive app, you can monitor livestock and track each individual cow or heifer. As one customer said, "With eShepherd, I can guide my herd without the stress. It's like having an extra pair of hands. Save time, save money, and improve animal welfare with virtual fencing. It's smarter, simpler herd management designed for today's dairy and beef producers. Visit tryvirtualfencing.com to learn more and see how it works. Take control of your grazing strategy with virtual fencing today." Welcome to the Moose Room. Brad Hines today. Emily is gone for a little bit, out traveling. I don't know. She's been at the Capitol a few days. She's all over the place. So I'm here and really wanted to talk about some subjects that are pretty popular right now. So we are going to talk about beef on dairy crossbreeding in a two-part series. So this week we're going to talk a little bit about beef on dairy, what's happening in the market, kind of review some semen sales, what dairy farmers are using on their animals, and then talk about a couple research studies that have just come out about beef on dairy and what we're learning about what's happening in the industry. Then next week, we're going to get into our research here at Minnesota, where we just completed a beef on dairy study on using five different breeds, and we've collected all of the carcass data. So we're going to talk about that and what we found. And it's kind of interesting. I was quite excited to finish that research, and I wanted to share a little bit about what we've done from a beef on dairy and where we're going. First, obviously, talk a little bit about beef on dairy and how it's shaping the beef production and the beef world. Actually, a new report came out in January that showed the beef inventory numbers the lowest since 1950s. So the beef herd has not rebounded and probably won't for the foreseeable future. And the cattle numbers are at the lowest. So despite that, the beef on dairy trend is kind of reshaping both the beef and the dairy industries with the use of beef semen in dairy cows to produce crossbred calves that have a higher market value than the dairy calves do. But the impact on U.S. beef production is quite minimal, actually. And it doesn't really affect total cattle numbers in the end. So let's talk about some of those things. So beef on dairy growth. If you go back to recent reports in 2022, so just a couple years ago, beef on dairy crossbreds, they accounted for about 7% of U.S. cattle slaughter. So a little over 2 million head. And that's projected to reach 15% by 2026. So in just 2 years from now, beef on dairy will be about 15% of the market. And that's quite significant, albeit it's growing, but slowly, but it will rapidly increase here. But it doesn't really increase the total cattle count. Now, why is that? Well, that's because these beef on dairy crossbreds are just replacing the dairy steers that used to enter into the beef market. Remember, a while ago, farmers used conventional semen, and we had a lot of Holstein steers and dairy crossbreds, or I should say dairy, purebred dairy steers go into the market. Well, these beef on dairies, they're just replacing those. There's been a lot less Holstein steers in the market. So these beef on dairies are replacing a lot of dairy steers. So the overall impact to the beef market is modest, and obviously there's going to be some increase, but not as much as what we think because of just replacing those dairy steers. So why are farmers interested in beef on dairy crossbreeding? Well, a few years ago, I did some research kind of looking into this, and a lot of the farms were interested in beef on dairy because it adds value to their calves. Purebred dairy animals, the calves are worth less than a beef on dairy crossbred. They're kind of all over the board. When we started here in Morris, you could get maybe $125 for those beef on dairy. The purebred dairy were $50 to $75, and then all of a sudden it skyrocketed where we were getting $400 for our beef on dairy crosses, and that was like, wow, that was impressive. And that's just gone up from there. At some point we were getting $850 for our beef on dairy cross calves. The just our last calving period, I think we were getting about $700 for beef on dairy cross calves at a week of age, and our purebred dairy animals, which we still have some of, were about $325. So more than double for the beef on dairy crossbred calves. So it's adding value to those calves for farmers. Obviously, there was the interest because many farms had too many replacement heifers, us included, too many heifers. So how do you combat heifer numbers? Well, breed your cows, breed dairy animals to beef, and that will help reduce your replacement numbers. You can get increased profitability for those animals in the marketplace by using beef on dairy. Calving ease. Obviously, some of the beef breeds are very good at calving ease, and farmers were using those bulls on their dairy animals. There was a thought to get a consistent end product in some of those beef on dairy crosses. I think that's certainly debatable, whether the product is still consistent enough, like you see in the true beef market. But time will tell as we learn more research, learn more about having to feed these animals. And there's really minimal cost difference in beef versus dairy semen. Yes, it can be less than sex semen, but a lot of dairy farmers are getting beef semen at quite a low cost for use on their animals. So really, in the end, the widespread use of AI and sex semen has made beef on dairy crossbreeding more practical. And a lot of people have been experimenting with that and have shown that these crossbreeds are better from a marketability standpoint. So what does it do to beef production? Well, there's probably a composition shift in the market. Obviously, there's more beef on dairy crossbreds, so there's fewer traditional purebred dairy steers on the market. Now, these beef on dairy cattle probably have better carcass traits compared to a traditional dairy steer, which leads to higher dressing percentages and higher premium grade meat. So USDA Choice, USDA Prime, you can get CAB or Certified Angus Beef, lots of different branded beef programs out there that certainly could enhance the demand for these animals. And there's lots of adjustments on these beef on dairy animals, and it's really due to their yield and efficiency. They can be very efficient at converting feed into meat and getting a high quality carcass. What about the economic implications for dairy farmers? Probably the biggest thing that a dairy farmer will see is higher calf prices, and it really boosts their profitability without increasing herd size. So you can, if you get more for your calves that are a week of age, that increases profitability really fast, especially if you're selling a lot of animals. For us, we sell 150 per calving season, maybe 300 calves per year from our 300 cow dairy that are beef on dairy crosses, times $700 a calf. That's a lot of money. That's real money that we wouldn't have realized had they just been purebred dairy animals. But there's lots of other economic implications that come into this. Profits are probably the big things with some of the branded beef programs. Some of the smaller farms who rely on public auctions or livestock auctions to sell their beef on dairy are probably more susceptible to price volatility. So you're at the whim of the market. And if you sell calves 1 week, you might not do as well as what you do the next week. So always keeping an eye on the livestock markets are pretty important for some of those farms that are selling those calves. But in the end, beef on dairy is here to stay. It's going to continue to grow. We're only going to see that growth increase quite rapidly within the next few years. It obviously will help improve the meat quality. The calf value is an important thing, and to help improve profitability on those dairy farms. So let's talk a little bit about selection of breeds first, before we get into some of these research studies. Now, a lot of people, there's a lot of opinions out there. Of course, I have mine as well, as far as what animals or what beef breeds you should use on your dairy animals. Well, probably the biggest thing is you want to use top bulls from their respective breeds. That's probably the biggest consideration that I would tell you, is use the top bulls. You should always use the top bulls. Now, here's Brad's quote. Black may be good, but it might not be the answer. Some people won't like it when I say that, because everybody has used Angus, and we'll talk about semen numbers here in a second, but a lot of people have jumped on the Angus bandwagon for lots of good reasons, and Angus is a great breed and a great carcass breed, but I'm not sure that it's the answer and the way. And next week, we'll talk about what we saw in some of our breeds. Obviously, you want a calf that looks like a beef animal, probably going to do better in the feedlot, do better from a carcass characteristic if it looks a little bit more beefy than dairy. You want some breeds that will maximize growth. Obviously, that's kind of a feedlot mentality, is trying to maximize growth on these animals. And you want to be able to understand the beef markets and how these breeds play into those different beef markets. Well, let's look at a few examples of some breeds that kind of gone through here, listed some strengths, some good things about these different breeds. If you look at it from a birth weight perspective, Angus would have the lowest birth weight out of numerous dairy breeds, comparing Charolais, Galvie, Hereford, Limousine, and Simmental. Angus, whether they're black Angus or red Angus, would definitely have the lowest birth weight. And they would have the highest marbling score. So you're going to get more marbling with an Angus animal than you probably are with something like Charolais, Galvie, Limousine. But the ribeyes are going to be smaller on an Angus, red Angus, black Angus, by maybe 1 square inch. The animals with a big ribeye area are going to be Charolais, Limousine, Simmental. Those are going to have the largest ribeye areas. So there's always this difference. Do you select for low birth weight, high marbling, or do you want to go for big ribeyes? There's kind of a difference. Fat thickness. Angus animals are going to have a little more fat thickness compared to the other breeds. 0.65 back fat inches. Whereas if you have a Simmental or Charolais, you're going to have less back fat. And that goes into the marbling score. So more fat, a little bit more marbling on the Angus. Carcass weight, they're all going to be quite similar. Maybe the Charolais is going to be a little bit bigger from a carcass standpoint than an Angus, but most of these breeds do quite well from a carcass standpoint. So what are some of the positives about these different breeds that people want to talk about? Well, Angus, so they're small framed, high quality carcass, they're well marbled, they're naturally polled, so that's always a good thing. So we don't have to disbud these animals or dehorn them. And that's one thing that you've heard from some feedlots, is they don't like to disbud these animals. So that's another plus for using the Angus. And they're a vigorous breed, so very growthy, do well in the feedlot. So there's lots of positives for Angus. What about Charolais? Charolais is good growth, heavy muscling in the round and the loin. So lots of muscle. Remember those big ribeyes from the Charolais? Good calving ease, large framed animals, and they fit well into any system. Now, when you cross it with a dairy animal, obviously Charolais is a white breed, you're not going to get black animals. Doesn't matter if you cross it with a Holstein, you're going to get somewhere in the middle. This mousy gray type animal is what you typically see when you use Charolais in a beef on dairy crossing system. Hereford, they're docile, they're easy handling, good calving ease on those animals. They have superior foraging ability, they're bigger, they're hardy, they're fast growing cattle with good beef quality. Obviously, red breed, but they have good growth, adequate marbling. Now, Limousine. Limousine are early maturing and have a lot of lean beef on them, good ribeyes. They're high yield of saleable meat, so they're kind of known as that carcass breed, and they're excellent at feed efficiency, albeit a little bit smaller than maybe some of the other breeds. And Simmental, excellent feed conversion and efficiency, good calving ease, and good growth rates. And the Simmental will marble as well. Another interesting breed that I have is Galvey. Some people have used Galvey a lot in the U.S. They're early maturing, excellent temperaments. They have high cutout yields, so large ribeye areas, so getting bigger ribeyes. They're good birth weight on the calves, so low birth weight. And they're known as a lean breed, lean from a fat perspective. So there's lots of good breeds. There's, if you think about it, from in Europe, they use a lot of other breeds on beef on dairy. And some of you have maybe have used these. You've maybe heard about them. One is Belgian Blue. That gets used a lot in Europe from a beef on dairy. They're very high muscle breeds, lean breeds, double muscled. Charolais Excellence is another one. Highly muscled, double muscled breed. And some I've used, I've been to some farms where they're using a breed called INRA 95. And that's a cross between Charolais, Limousine, Maine Anjou, and Blondie d'Aquitaine. So there's a lot of other breeds that can be used on beef on dairy crossing. And like I said, does it always have to be Angus? Maybe, maybe not. Depends on what your situation is. So let's talk about semen use. Some new reports just came out from the National Association of Animal Breeders here in the U.S. that talks about domestic semen usage for dairy and beef breeds. And it reveals some interesting things, let's say. So let's talk about domestic dairy semen use first. And these are from 2023 statistics, so the 2024 ones aren't quite available, but this gives you a pretty good idea. It's only a year old. Holstein domestic dairy semen usage in the U.S. was about 12.4 million units. And that hadn't changed much from 2022. It's probably down quite considerably, down 5 million units from 2018. But I also pulled some statistics from 1980. So 40 years ago, we're about the same as what we are today. 12 million units of Holstein semen in 1980 and about 12 million in 2023. Now, Jersey, purebred Jersey, about 2.2 million units of semen. That's been going down quite considerably. In 2018, it was 3.2 million. So down over a million units in just 5 years in the Jersey breed. And a lot of that had to do with the value of those Jersey bull calves, purebred Jersey bull calves, being worth nothing or very little. In 1980, we only used 500,000 units of Jersey semen, so Jersey wasn't quite as popular in the 1980s. And so that breed has increased quite a bit. Brown Swiss were at about 57,000 units of semen. That's been going down quite a bit in 1980. 250,000 in the 2018, 2019, about 80 to 90,000 units. So we've been dropping a lot in Brown Swiss. Ayrshire, about 22,000 units of semen. That's been going down the high 1980. One that will surprise you, or maybe not surprise you, Guernsey. Only 12,000 units of Guernsey semen was used domestically in the U.S. in 2013. If you go back to 1980, it was 326,000. That's a lot. That is a huge drop in 40 years in just one breed. And it's quite alarming that Guernsey usage has dropped a lot on that breed, but just 12,000 units. Some of the other ones are pretty comparable. Milking Shorthorn, about 8,000. Red and White has been a lot. So you have lots of red and white semen, about 200,000 units in 2023. Now that's the dairy semen part. Well, what about beef? Now beef, this is the interesting thing. About 4.7 million units of Angus semen were used domestically. That's in the US. This is not export in 2023. And that's been going up quite considerably. In 2018, it was just 2.4 million. So it's gone up 2 million units in just 5 years. That's a huge jump in Angus semen. Simmental was the second largest at about 1.1 million units of semen. Crossbred, so lots of crossbred beef bulls. They're about 856,000. Charlet, 680,000 units. So they're the fourth, if you count the crossbreds, purebred by a purebred standpoint, the third most popular breed. So you got Angus, Simmental, Charlet, three most popular purebred breeds for use in beef semen domestically. And this isn't necessarily just crossing on dairy animals. They're obviously accounting for the purebred beef market as well. But it kind of gives you an indication about what breeds people are using. Limousine, about 311,000 units of semen. Wagyu, 212,000 units of semen in 2023. So Wagyu has seen an increase in popularity in just 5 years. In 2018, they were at 28,000 units of semen and now over 200,000. That is no doubt coming from beef on dairy crossing. Wagyu semen has increased because of that. Red Angus, about 120,000. Pulled Hereford, about 84,000. And there's some other breeds that are used around 3,000 to 5,000 units. Brahma, Shorthorn, Gelvies at 3,200. Mean Anjou, about 3,200 units. Brangus, some Senepal. Kianiya was used quite heavily many years ago, but not so much today. One of the other drastic decreases was Hereford, 1980s, 190,000 units of semen, and now about 84,000. So they've increased or decreased 50%. Most of the other breeds have increased a lot over time. Angus, Simmental, Charlet, and Limousine have increased a lot in semen usage. Hereford has kind of gone down. So that's kind of domestically what's going on in semen sales. Obviously, this is AI semen, not bulls, only domestically. So Angus, Simmental, Charlet, Limousine, Wagyu are the top five breeds for domestic beef semen usage here in the US, which is interesting. It's quite interesting to see that those are the breeds that people are using, and those are the breeds that are being used in beef on dairy crossing as well. So let's talk about a couple studies that have just came out recently that kind of describe some things going on in the beef on dairy world. The first one was a study from Megan Lauber and Paul Fricke at the University of Wisconsin. And they were really, their goal was to look at different semen usage types. So they looked at beef, conventional dairy, sex dairy in Holstein and Jersey animals in the US. And we're not going to talk about the conventional dairy or sex semen, but I wanted to hit on some of the beef on dairy that they had certainly talked about. So that was kind of a secondary goal of theirs, was to look at the prevalence of beef breed sires used to produce these beef on dairy crosses. So this study was done from 2019 to 2021. So it's a few years old, but not bad. They looked at Holstein animals. So they had over 8 million inseminations from Holstein animals across almost 10,000 herds here in the US. Jersey, they had a 435,000 inseminations across 2,800 herds here in the US. So this data set covers about 42% of the total dairy cows in the US, about 40% of the licensed dairy herds. So what did they find as far as semen usage in these animals. Well, Holstein, beef semen increased from 18 to 26%. So 8% increase in beef semen. In Jerseys, it grew even more. Beef semen grew from 11% to 21% in these animals. Jersey grew quite a bit in sex semen usage, up to 30% as well. So Jersey, 30%, sex semen, and beef semen, 21%. Here are some interesting things learned about beef semen usage. So it increased with older cows and service number. So cows that were older tended to get beef semen, and cows that had been bred multiple times tended to have more usage of beef semen. So really it indicated that it was being used in older cows and lower fertility cows. In this study, the top four breeds used for Holstein were Angus, Limousine, Simmental, and crossbred beef. Angus was about 50%. For Jerseys, it was Angus, top 39%, then Limousine, Simmental, and crossbred beef. So in 4 or 5 years ago, most people were using Angus, Limousine, and Simmental. So the larger herds tended to adopt sex semen and beef semen at higher rates than the smaller herds, whereas the larger herds probably saw the biggest increase in beef semen usage, up to almost 32% of the larger herds using beef semen. Farms with higher repro performance, so these are preg rates greater than 20%, were more likely to use beef semen strategies. So if you had higher fertility in your cows, you tended to use more beef semen, obviously to try and control your heifer replacements. And the smaller herds often sold their beef on dairy crossbred calves at public auctions, whereas larger operations tended to have more marketing channels to sell their beef on dairy cross calves. So this study concluded that sex semen and beef use is growing, and it still continues to grow today. Obviously in the larger herds because of more reproductive efficiency and economies of scale. And obviously, the authors concluded where they said that we need to provide dairy farmers with marketing access and more resources for beef on dairy crossbred calves, because that is the critical part to improving profitability in these farms. So our last study that I wanted to discuss today came out just last year. It was a study done at Penn State University that looked at the impact of sire breed and feedlot performance on carcass characteristics. So these were just looking at the feedlot through the feeding period of these animals. And so they wanted to investigate how these different sire breed affect many different traits. So they had about 262 steers. They were sired by 7 beef breeds. So there was Angus, Charolais, Limousine, Hereford, Red Angus, Simmental, and Wagyu. And they were all out of Holstein dams. So these are 50% beef, 50% dairy, only out of Holsteins. So what did the group at Penn State find? Well, they found that Angus, Charolais, and Simmental sired steers had higher average daily gain than the other breeds. So let's look at what were these average daily gains in the feedlot. Angus, 3.88 pounds. Charolais, 3.81. So again, Charolais did quite well. Simmental, 3.70. Hereford was fourth, 3.66 pounds per day. Red Angus, 3.57. Limousine, 3.42. And the lowest average daily gain was Wagyu, 3.06 pounds per day. So all of these steers grew really well, over 3 pounds a day. So they were really growthy animals. However, the Wagyu steers had 5 to 26 more days on feed compared to the other breeds, which probably made them less efficient. And the Angus and the Charolais steers were on feed about 3 weeks less than the Limousine steers. So 3 weeks can be a lot from a profitability standpoint. If it's 21 days less feed times hundreds of animals that you have, that can add up quite considerably. And I think that's what it's all going to come down to at some point, is really profitability. So what about carcass characteristics in these animals? The Red Angus, the Angus, and the Charolais had highest marbling scores, which really aligned with choice or better in the quality grades. Simmental and Limousine had the lowest marbling scores. So it really suggested that the Angus, the Red Angus, and the Charolais genetics improve the beef quality and probably the marketability of these animals. They also collected data on tenderness, lower tenderness, or lower, I should say, shear force scores indicated less force to cut the meat. So lower scores here were more tender. The most tender steaks were Limousine, Hereford, and Angus. The least tender was Simmental. So you can see there's lots of differences, even though you get pretty good growth rates. So the Limousine had one of the lowest growth rates, but one of the most tender steaks. Hereford as well. So the Angus, Red Angus, Charolais cattle probably produced more desirable marbled beef, but the Angus, Limousine, and Hereford had more tender beef, and the Simmental didn't do as great. So lots of differences between these different breeds that you can see. So what about economically? Angus and the Charolais probably had the best balance for growth, marbling, and feed efficiency. The Wagyu and the Limousine just had more days on feed, so it made them less efficient and probably less profitable. And the Simmental had good growth, but lower marbling and least tender beef. In conclusion, this is what their takeaway was. For dairy farmers using this semen, and you want to maximize value, meat quality, and what should you use? So if you want fast growing and feed efficient animals, you should use Angus, Charolais, and Simmental because you get higher average daily gain and less time on feed. If you want highest marbling and quality grades, obviously the Angus breeds, Black Angus, Red Angus, and Charolais here, because they have higher marbling scores and more choice beef. The most tender meat, Limousine and Angus and Hereford. The most efficient in the feedlot, Angus and Charolais. And probably the least recommended for efficiency based on this study was Wagyu and Limousine, just because they have more time on feed and they have the slowest growth. So in the end, this study concluded that Angus, Charolais, and Red Angus were probably the best sire breeds for beef on dairy crossing on Holsteins. Simmental had pretty good growth, but maybe not quite as good in the carcass, which as dairy farmers, we tend not to think about the carcass traits afterwards. And I think we need to start doing that and looking at and thinking about trying to use good beef breeds and beef bulls that improve the carcass characteristics on a Holstein or purebred dairy animal. So in the end, this study really reinforced the importance of sire selection and how genetics actually does play quite a big role in beef on dairy crossing. I think it will only continue to play a bigger role in some of these crossbreeding programs into the future. But again, use good genetics, good bulls. And I will talk about some of that next week when we talk about a couple of the studies that we've done here at Minnesota on some feeding of calves, you know, what to do. A lot of these studies that come out now, it's all about the feedlot. What can we do in the feedlot? Well, I'm interested in what can we do as calves as well on these animals. So I've done some calf studies. Also, I did a full life study. We fed them as calves and then into the feedlot and collected carcass data. And we just recently finished that study. And I want to talk about that and then talk about where we're going on beef on dairy crossing in our herd, what bulls we're using right now, how I select bulls for use in beef on dairy, and what kind of I've learned over the last few years. So hopefully today you've gained a little bit of insight about what's happening in the beef on dairy world, what is being used out there for beef genetics, why it might be used, and what farmers are thinking about from a beef on dairy standpoint. So with that, I think we'll wrap today. And if you have any comments, questions, or scathing rebuttals, feel free to contact us at the Moose Room. That's themoosroom at umn.edu, or visit us on the web at University of Minnesota Extension, or myself at West Central Research and Outreach Center on the web. With that, hope you have a good day. Thanks for listening. Bye.